stealing or being a thief, to cheat, being a deceiver, a liar, to be corrupt, or to kill or murder. But first, let's define these words, that you may have a definition of what we're talking about. Steal, and again, these are basic definitions. You can go in the dictionary and get in deeper depth of them, but to give you a basic understanding, we're just giving some basic definitions. Steal means to take from someone without the right or permission. A thief is one who steals. So a thief is what you are. To steal is what you do. A liar, one that tells lies. A false statement, or to speak the opposite of the truth. Kill means to put to death or deprive of life. Murder means unlawful killing. So you have unlawfully put something to death or deprived that something of life. Cheat means to deceive by trickery or to swindle. Deceive is to mislead or to cheat. So to cheat or deceive is a form of lying because you are not being honest at all. Corrupt is open to bribery and dishonesty. Again, you may see some of these words have the same definition. Do I need to repeat any of the definitions, or do I need to go over it again? Okay. Steal means to take from someone without the right or permission of that person. A thief is one who steals. So if I'm a thief, that's what I am, and to steal would be what I do. A liar, one that tells lies or make a false statement. One who speaks the opposite of the truth. To kill means to put to death or deprive of life. Murder is unlawful killing. Cheat means to deceive by trickery or to swindle. Deceive means to mislead or simply to cheat. To cheat or deceive is a form of lying because you are not being honest at all. And to be corrupt is open to bribery and dishonesty. Now, before we go any further, does anybody want to share anything on these words? Okay. Let's start with steal. Exodus 20, 15.
Thou shall not steal.
Thou shall not steal. That's plain, isn't it? Very simple. Don't take a whole lot of words. It's one of the Ten Commandments. There's no way to misunderstand don't steal. Today's English, if I put it this way, don't take something that is not yours without permission. If you take something that's not yours and you didn't have permission, that's stealing. In the New Testament, in Romans 13 and 8, it reinforces things that we should and should not do. Romans 13, verse 8 and verse 9.
Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law.
Owing means being in debt to someone. So don't be in debt to someone. Go ahead.
For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
So just in case you thought that the Ten Commandments or thou shalt not steal is only in the Old Testament and does not apply to us today, you can see that it was reiterated or reinforced by Paul when he wrote to the Romans of what you should not do. And we find in Mark 12, I believe it says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And the second is like unto this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And under this hangs all the law of the prophets. So when you keep these, this saying that Jesus spoke, you're actually keeping the entire Ten Commandments. You're not keeping it according to your flesh, but according to the Spirit of God that is in you, telling you what you should and what you should not do. Now turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and 9, because bearing false witness, I want to say, is another way of lying. But when you bear false witness, you are lying to someone rather than relying on someone than relying to someone. So let's see what it says in Colossians 3 and 9.
Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds.
Lie not. What are some of the ways they lied to one another back then? And if you find what was happening was they were underrating property so that they could get it for less. That's a lie. Huh? When you underwrite or undermine something just so you can get it for something better, that's not honesty. Or overrate property so you can get more. You know how you want to sell your car. You know it ain't worth two dimes, but you're going to try to get a quarter. And give all the good features to it, but not telling the person what's wrong with it. That's lying. And we don't want to do that to one another. Lying is proof you have not totally taken the old flesh off. What is Father doing? Father is teaching. He's teaching us in the scriptures what we should and what we should not do. All we have to do is study them, receive them, and do them. Is that good? Now, there are three ways you can lie. Lie to yourself. Has anybody ever done that? And if you don't raise your hand, you done lied already. Lie on or to others. And lying on God and His Word. None of them are good. Especially the last one. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. So we know what stealing is, right? If you go to work and you take something that don't belong to you, you done stole it. First John chapter 1, verse 6.
If we say that if we say.
First three words again. If we
say.
So this is coming out your mouth. Mm-hmm. Okay, if we say
that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
If what you say does not line up with what you do, you lying. Amen. Huh? See, and we try to sugarcoat. You tell this story. No, you lied. Your fellowship and relationship is not true. Now, what I want to say, Saint, if we are guilty of any of these, we have an advocate. Huh? Jesus Christ, who has died for us, that whatever it is that you lied about can be forgiven. But you got to repent. God, and here's God does not have double or secret agents. We've got to be out there as a light. Either you serve him or you serve the enemy. Now, put this scripture down. I don't have it up there, but Matthew 6:24 tells us, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You're going to be on one side or the other. Ain't no straddling. Either you are or you are not. And remember what it said in Romans. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant you are. To whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, obedience unto righteousness. So whichever one you are obeying, that's who you are the servant of. If you are obeying a lie, you are serving of the lie. If you are abiding in the truth, you are a servant of the truth. But don't say one thing and do another. Ain't that a problem we've grown up with? We say one thing and do another. James chapter 3.
But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth.
Say that again.
But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth.
If you are envious or bitter, don't fool yourself. Deal with them and get them out of your heart. Get that envy and bitter out of your heart. It don't have to be there. Don't go around saying, the devil made me do it. You lying. You did it because you wanted to. You did it because, not because someone made you mad. You did it because you got mad. We have so many things so many cliches and so many things that we just really need to purge out of ourselves and quit saying it. We don't have to say it. But we've got to put something in us so we won't say it. Huh? Let me use this example. When you eat, I'm eating, man. When you eat, and you eat, and you eat until you full that you about to bust, can't nobody put no more in you. They offer you something. I'm full. I can't eat another bite. I just can't eat no more. You put a good steak in front of me. I don't want no dessert. I don't want nothing else. Because when I get done, I'm full. And it got to the point, I got to really cut that steak in half and take half of it home. Because if I get too full, Roz is going to have to drive. And I know Robin ain't going to drive. So I better use wisdom. Huh? Because Robin be the one that's full. Because she be asleep by the time we get out the parking lot. Almost. Back up. I'm keeping it honest now. I'm keeping it honest. The Old Testament says this also about a thief. Turn to Exodus chapter 22, verse 7.
If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of a man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double.
You hear that? To be caught stealing then, you didn't pay a fine to the state. You didn't get probation and a slap on the wrist or just give it back. You had to pay double. That ain't worth stealing something that ain't yours. Huh? In other words, if I steal $50, then I got to give back $100. Here's another thing. Deuteronomy 24:7.
If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel.
And that's kidnapping, y'all. That's kidnapping. Go ahead.
Children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him, or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil away from among you.
If you abducted a child back then, punishable by death. Today, we put him in jail, then we go put him on a list when they get out. Back then, the law was clear and they didn't play. You gonna take my child and say what? You know what? If there was no law, I know a couple of brothers in here right now. If somebody took their child and they got caught, you know, it's like Smith and Weston. 40 and 5 or 9 and a millimeter. But you would not get back home to tell it. So for those, I mean, thank the Lord that we got a law in place. But back then it was punishable by death for being a thief. Look at Ephesians 4:28. Paul says this to the Ephesians and to us in Christ about stealing today.
Let him that stole steal no more.
Say what?
Let him that stole steal no more.
If this is what you used to do, don't do it anymore.
But rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth.
So rather than try to rip somebody off and take something that don't belong to you, work with your hands. Work with your hands. Just think, people, even today, people would hold up signs up at a light saying, I will work for food. Has anybody ever seen that? You get off the expressway and they'd be sitting there with a sad face. I will work for food. In fact, they put all kinds of stuff on the signs now. But in certain places, they didn't run up to your car and clean your windshield. Just looking for a donation. But of course, today, none of these things are safe. It's mostly a scam. In fact, understand, it's funny, right there, on 23, when you get off at Geddes, it used to be a light there. And I had a sandwich I really wanted that sandwich. And pulled up, and I'm saying, you know, here's our thoughts now. Let me be the third car back, you know. That way when it turned green, that I could just go around. No, everybody got through the light but me. I'm sitting right there. I said, man. So I rolled down the window and gave the man my sandwich, hoping it would do well. But I find out later that what the people are doing, they'd be standing right there at that light, but when the day is all over with, they walk across the bridge and they got their car or bike parked right back there so they can just take on off and do. I said, come on now. Yeah, they didn't want food, they wanted money. They wanted money. But you know what? See, man knows how to stop things, because that very same place on Gettys Road, there ain't no light there no more. They roundabouts. So ain't nobody stopping. But the Lord is still good, saints. But I want you to understand that there's another way to steal. There's another way man steals and lies. This stealing is from God, lying about and against God. Look at Jeremiah 23.
Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of the pasture, saith the Lord.
Notice who God is addressing. The pastors. Verse 2.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord.
If God addresses the world with a standard of what is wrong and tells his children what they should not do, then of course he has a standard for his leaders that bring forth his word. Drop down to verse 30.
Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor.
What happens in this situation was this. The prophets stole the word from their neighbor, who associated with the true prophets. They got the truth from them and then went and published it as a revelation, as if they had received it. If someone else said, God said, don't you take the credit for it. Amen. Most of all, if God said it, make sure you don't try to get credit for it either. Amen. Verse 31.
Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith.
Preachers have used their smooth mouth to persuade people, and they say it was the word of the Lord when it's really coming from them. Look at 32.
Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord.
Many have prophesied, saying, God told me to tell you, when he didn't. How many have heard this one? God told me you're the one. Or God said you're going to be my wife or husband. Have you ever heard that? Hope y'all didn't say it. Especially if that person's already married. God didn't say it. During my ministry, there was a pastor that came up and told me, God gave me your name to be my assistant. I said, okay, I hear you. And I made it very clear, politely, when God gives me your name, then I become your sister. Just because you said God said, I'm not going to jump on it. But if God can talk to you and tell you, he can also talk to me and tell me that it bears witness. Go to John chapter 10, verse 1. For this is what Jesus is saying to us today.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
You ain't just a thief, you are a thief and a robber. Jesus made it plain when he said this, as well as he made it plain when he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The only way you're going to make it is by me. You can't go through the window. Huh? You can't go through the attic. Basement. I'm the door. And I'm the one who's going to open up the door. You can't force your way in. Ain't no special key. I give you the keys to the kingdom. Satan is a thief and a robber. So there's no way to get to the Father but by who? But man is saying and teaching that there is another way. There is another door. They're saying God said things when God has not said it. In fact, this is what Jesus said about Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So do you want to be with the father of truth or the father of lies? If you keep telling lies, then we know who your father is. Look at verse 10.
The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
Who's the thief? Satan. What's he come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Now watch this. Satan wants to steal the life and understanding from you. When you get understanding, when you get a life of something, he wants to take it. And he will take it any way he can. He wants to kill the relationship you have with the Father. Boy, if I can just disconnect you from the Father, I can do all these different things. I can do all of that. And he wants to destroy your soul. Your soul is in your hand continually. And what keeps your soul safe and secure is the word of God. Amen. The life. Jesus, I come that you might have life and that more abundantly. Thank you, Lord. Now let's look at kill and murder. Again, Exodus 20, 13.
Thou shalt not kill.
The commandment says, do not what? This literally means taking the life of another with malice or with intention to murder him. And you don't have to be the one that commits the act to be a murderer. Did you know that? You can murder somebody and not lay a finger on them. David had Bathsheba's husband put on the front line. He didn't do it, but he knew what was happening on the front line because he had already committed another act. In order to cover that act, he had to commit another act. How many of y'all know when you do one thing, in order to cover that one thing so don't nobody know, you got to do another thing. And another until you can't even remember the first thing that you did. You ain't no almost in there. You trapped. Matthew 5:21.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whomsoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment.
Jesus was not against the law of Moses, but he was against the false interpretations of the law practiced in his time. Today, man is making their own interpretations, saying what God did not say. If God made them male and female, there's no in between. That's simple, ain't it? Well, we saw on the news last night about God made a mistake or put me in the wrong body. No, he put you in the right body when you was born. Today, the media thinks if you have a lot of followers, that makes it right. That's when it's okay. Or if a certain person says it, it's law. No. If God didn't say it, if it ain't written, it ain't right. But I want you to know there's another way we kill, that is with our mouth. Proverbs 18 and 21 tells us how.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Death and life are in the power, the authority of the tongue. We kill with our mouth. We kill with our mouth. The way we talk to people kills by the words we speak. And folks will try you. They will try you to see if you're going to be a killer. But the way we talk is not all the tone, the gestures, and attitude. We kill. I got a phone call today, and I'm trying to do everything that I can to always be a protector of my wife. Amen. And I got the call, and the man said, can I speak to Rosalind Vick? Well, see, any man that I don't recognize, okay, I want to know why you want to talk to my wife. I'm not being jealous, I'm being protective, you know, and I understand that she does certain work for certain people, but you're going to have to make me aware of why you want to talk to my wife. And so I said nicely, to what purpose do you want to speak to her? Well, is your house still for sale? Okay, first of all, why you want to talk to her about my house? I said, no, it's not. Well, why aren't you selling it? I don't want to. Well, why not? I enjoy where I'm at right now. Well, okay, where was you going to move to? I said, listen, I'm enjoying where I'm at. I'm not moving. And that's the end of this conversation. Okay, well, thank you. Now, back in the day, And I ain't talking about too many days back. Dude, let me tell you one thing. But no, I'm learning not to kill with my mouth. I'm working on it. My tone, I got a handle on it. My gestures, everybody seems to be able to read my gestures. Pastor can't hide nothing. You know, what's wrong? What's wrong? What you see? Attitude. We all got some attitude, huh? If y'all ain't saying amen, I'm. But these things you call verbal abuse. And we must let that fleshly man die that we may let the spiritual man live. Now let's look at cheating and deceiving and being corrupt. Cheat is not a biblical word, but deceive and corrupt is. To cheat is to deceive. Amen. So let's look at Proverbs 24:28, because to be corrupt is to be dishonest, which still is deceiving.
Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips.
How do you deceive? With your lips. Be not a witness against your neighbor. Do not offer yourself to bear testimony against your brother. I'm going to tell on DJ. Bridget, let me tell you what DJ did. Don't do things for revenge because you have been hurt yourself. Okay, DJ, we cool, but hurt me here. I'm gonna make you go get Bridget a whole box of chocolate. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day, y'all. I'm just saying. In fact, this is what it tells us in Ephesians. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are all members one of another. We are supposed to be helping one another, not hurting one another. If my brother is doing something that is extremely out of line, then I need to go to him and him alone. And talk to him, because you are hurting my sister. I don't need to go up to him with a tone of saying, I'm giving you an option. You can have a fist burger or a knuckle sandwich. We've got to love one another and not lie to one another. Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
If I can say it like this, there's always going to be somebody who will come and try to sell you their truth. There will always be someone trying to convince you that you have been lied to or taught wrong. That is why we need to study to show ourselves approved under God. A workman that needed not be in a shame, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is why it's important that we get into the word ourselves. There are at least two ways of being deceived. by others, and you can deceive yourself. You can believe something so much, knowing that it ain't true. You've deceived yourself. Look at Ephesians 5 and 6.
Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
Don't let any man deceive you with vain words. Empty words don't mount up to nothing. Do you really know what you're talking about? Can you support what you're saying? Is it written? Be like the Berea, the more noble. Because even when they heard what Paul had to say, they searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. I'm going to find out. You know, and that's one thing that took place with me and my former pastor. The way I was raised and the truths that he was coming up with, I'm telling you, the truths that he was coming up with, you didn't want to do them. But they were truth. But I'd always ask the question, where'd you find that at? And when he shared it, then I would be able to get the revelation myself. God said it. This is what it means. So now you have an option of either doing it or not doing it. Look at 1 John 1 and 8. Y'all all right? Amen. We almost done. Oh, I didn't put that one up there.
Is that
1 John 1 and 8? 1 John 1 and 8.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us.
See, the first deception, somebody else deceives you, and now you're about to deceive yourself if you say you have no sin. We were all born in sin. We all were born in that nature. Sin nature. But we have been redeemed from it by Jesus and his blood. He has redeemed us. What about corruption? Look at 1 Corinthians 15:33. I do have that one right.
Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners.
Don't allow people with smooth words to corrupt you. Amen. And don't corrupt others with your smooth tone. Yeah. I know young men with that smooth talk trying to sway somebody to be with them. Oh, baby, you know I love you. You so beautiful. Marry me and I'll buy you the moon. My father-in-law told my mother-in-law that if you marry me, I'll dress you like an angel. That sounds smooth, don't it?
Yeah.
That boy, your eyes just roll back. Yo, 12 children later. She presented the question to him. I thought you said you're going to dress me like an angel. He responded, baby, you know angels don't wear clothes. That's cold, eh? See, smooth words. And that's natural. But the world, or the religious world, will give you smooth words so they can get you in their congregation. And once they got you, then they start telling you what you got to do and what you can't do and don't have scriptures to back it up. People were deceived by speech, and regardless of anything else, their corrupt talk they have trying to deny, in fact, they do deny the existence of Christ. That's what's happening today. That's why we got to make sure that we're studying the word, because there's a lot of religions out there that deny the Christ. They'll say Jesus, but they will not acknowledge the Christ, the anointed one. Look at Ephesians 4:22.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust.
If we are in Christ, it means that we are going to take off the former conversation. Amen. We are going to stop talking the way we've been talking. And I'm not talking about changing your dialect. I'm talking about becoming positive rather than negative. I can do all things through Christ. My God shall supply. Being positive rather than I can't do it. I don't know how. You make me sick. When we are in Christ, we should not have the same way of communication that we had before. We should be talking to one another differently. Before we were deceitful in our talking action, in Christ, we do not deceive. We speak the truth. We speak the truth. Well, Pastor, the truth hurts. No, the truth will make you free. And see, that's why it has to do with tone and attitude. It's like the relationship that I have with my wife. Before, sometimes she's unsure of something, and she'll come in and she'll say, honey, which shoe? Now, I could be very abrupt, but that's the ugliest thing I've seen on your left foot. But she asked a simple question, right? Which shoe? So, rather than give a comment about what's ugly, I said, well, I like that one. That settles it, right? I mean, she come in. I mean, now she got a different dress on. Which dress? Which one you like? I'm studying, trying to do well for the Lord, and she got a show going on. How about this one? Well, I like that one. That's good. Lo and behold, the next day she don't wear either one of them. Do I ask her what? No. 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 You know, see, I've already got it in my mind of what I'm going to wear Sunday, Lord, where I live. And sometimes I've changed in midstream. Well, no, I decide I ain't gonna wear that. It's one thing I ain't wearing is pink. Not at this point. Okay, not at this point. I have no desire to put that color on. I'm keeping truth. I'm keeping truth. Okay, y'all work with me here. Let's move on. Ephesians 4:29.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
See, I'm keeping truth. I don't want no corrupt communication. I have no intentions of wearing that color. Okay.
But that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer.
That's what we want, isn't it? Yeah. This is another reason we should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We must be careful. And again, if I take the time to examine myself, listen to what I'm saying, as well as pay close attention to what is being said, I can minimize and reduce and eliminate all deception, corruption, cheat, lying. I can put away all forms of stealing, killing, which will make me that much more holy, godly, clean, and righteous. Would anybody like to share any more on these subjects? If not, my time is up, and I thank you for yours.